another word or a thought or testimony on someone's heart this morning. Anything at all. If not, our heart has been full this week. Once again, looking out and seeing the young people and seeing a church working together, our heart has been full. I've enjoyed the opportunity to get to sit back. It's amazing to get to sit back and watch the old church work, and I'm thankful for that. Today is, each and every day we have the opportunity to gather into the Lord's house. I believe it to be a special day. But as we look upon tomorrow and the day that we hold aside to celebrate our freedom, as far as our Independence Day, I'm certainly thankful to live in a nation and a country that was founded upon the principles of God, and to be a nation that's under God. We know that it's in His name that we trust. And to be a young country, it's amazing to me to see how much this country has grown. And we've prospered so much because we have put God first and foremost. And I know a lot of times as we look out, it's easy for us to become discouraged the way things are and the things that we see. But I want to encourage you this morning, as we learned in our Sunday school lesson, that we continue to be a people that continues to look to God, and to continue to put Him first and foremost in our life, that we would lift Him up, and that we'd once again be a nation under God who loves Him and reverences Him and respects Him. To me, that's what makes America so good, is that we reverence God and that we put Him first and foremost. As we look and symbolize and honor our flag. This morning, I thank God for that flag. I thank God for the men and women who have sacrificed their life, have paid the ultimate sacrifice. We thank God for our veterans who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, that we have the freedom that we can enjoy today. Truly, independence. Freedom, that's special. And I pray that we all thank God for that freedom that we have. It's a great honor to be able to come into the Lord's house and to have the freedom without fear or favor of man, that we can come into this place without fear of persecution from a government, that we can come in here and worship our living God, our living Savior. That's special. There's not everywhere in the world that folks have that opportunity. And this morning, we are able to do that because of men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but most importantly, because of God. And I believe that God was certainly had a hand, if you will, in the structure and foundation of this great country that we live in. Today, I've had many thoughts this week, and I pray that God would help steady our thoughts. I want to take for reading this morning out of the book of Ezekiel, and pray for us the Lord would help us this morning that we might follow Him. The book of Ezekiel. Began to think about something that was said to me during revival, and it stayed with us since revival. And oftentimes I believe it's easy to get in a condition as far as God's people that we want to see things now. We want to see things happen on our time. We want to see things happen when we want them to happen. And even being folks, when our people made a great trip over across many years ago, that the establishing of this country might take place, no doubt people wanted to see those things come to pass even sooner than they did. And yet there was even moments in time that people would get weak and would even begin to ponder upon the things maybe that they were fighting for. But I want you to know that they continued to look to God. And I want you to understand that when God sends things, He'll send them in His own time. And all we can do as God's people is continue to do what He's asked us to do, and to be patient and to wait upon Him. And this morning as we look here in Ezekiel, I want to take for a reading lesson Ezekiel 36. And I've had a thought all week long. Our thought this week has been a trophy of grace. And I've thought about that all week long. And I began to think about, if some of you this week are familiar with the McCaneys, they sing a song called A Trophy of Grace. And that has really been upon my heart this morning. And I'm just thankful. I'm just so very thankful this morning to be a child of God. I'm so very thankful this morning that through my many mistakes and through my many failures, that I'm still a trophy of grace. I'm so very thankful this morning to live in a country and a nation where we have the freedom to worship a living God. And I'm thankful this morning for the Lord's church and what she means to me. And for our young people, God is good. He's good. And I want us this morning to be able to praise His holy name for just the goodness that He is to us in our life, that we might exalt Him. We learned about Joseph this week. And I pray that the lessons that we've learned, that those things might stick in your heart, how that he was a man who no doubt went through many things. There was many challenges that he went through, but yet he always looked to God. And he always placed his faith and trust in the Lord. And he was ready to give an answer. He was ready to give an account when his time came. This morning, as we look here in Ezekiel in the 36th chapter, very familiar scripture to you. But no doubt, Ezekiel was a man of God, and he was a major prophet. But this morning, I want you to look here. In the beginning of this chapter, he began to make a proclamation unto the mountains. And for time's sake, you can look at those things. But he began to make a proclamation unto the mountains. Because no doubt they were no longer inhabited. The people was in bondage at this time. They were exiled out of their homeland. And yet we begin to see here that even in this time period, this is still about 50 years before they would be coming out of exile, if you will. But yet Ezekiel began to make a proclamation through the Spirit of God that they might continue in their faith, that they might continue to look to the Lord. And even though he was looking out a great many years ahead, some 50 years before they might come out of exile, yet he wanted to give them hope. He wanted to give them faith, something that they might be able to rest in this morning. And I want to look here, if you will, in the 21st verse for a reading lesson this morning in the book of Ezekiel. He said, "But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore saith unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." And I want to stop there for just a moment in time. As we look here, no doubt, in the great history, as we look back as far as the two kingdoms there that we know was in Israel, and we know that the northern kingdom had fallen many years before Judah had. And as we see here and looking back, that was told how those things would come to pass, and how Judah had had good kings, and that they had had bad kings. They had had kings that would look unto the Lord and would prosper His name and that would worship Him and that would praise Him and would establish Israel. And we know here that Judah, no doubt, would be a kingdom, as we said before, would have good kings and bad kings. But yet here we know that they had come into exile and was just pretty much in the beginning of the stages of this. And yet Ezekiel began to proclaim to them to continue to hold on. And as God said, I will do this thing, He said, but I had pity on my holy name. And He said, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. I want you to understand this morning that the condition of this country and the things that we see going on, my friend, if God is going to make a move, it will be because God decides to do it. I want you to know this morning that God is holy and yet He is righteous, and we as His people need to have an understanding that we are going to put Him first and foremost in our life, and that we need to have a humbled, a humbled heart within us this morning, that we're able to exalt Him and to lift Him up. But I want you to know this morning that God is going to have honor and glory. He will have honor and He will have glory. His name will be sanctified. His name will be lifted up. And this morning, how precious it is, we think about out of the mouth of babes. And this morning to hear these little children. And I pray that those things stir your hearts this morning. How we see these little children and they talk about the goodness of God. And they talk about how good God is. And I'll tell you this morning, those things ought to stir our hearts as God's people. But He says this. He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which is profane among the heathen. How great is the name of God? Jehovah that we heard about this morning, as He told about over there in Exodus, when He talked about to Moses, that Moses might go unto the children of Israel, how that they had been in bondage for 400 years. And he said, Lord, who should I tell them that I'm going? Who should I tell them that sent me? And he said, you tell them I am, that I am has sent me. He said, you tell them that Jehovah God has sent me. He said, you go tell them about me. And then they'll listen. Listen, my friend, this morning, we're talking about God here in this place. We're talking about the Creator of all things. We're talking about the One who sanctified you and who's cleansed you, who's made you a new creature within here. My friend, I'm talking about God this morning. I'm talking about the One who's given us the freedom and the opportunity to come and worship in a place like this. He said, I will sanctify my name among the heathen. He said, through you, they might know my name. What an honor that is. Through you, they might know who I am, that my name might reign out in righteousness and holiness. I'll choose you. What an honor that is to be chosen by God, that through me, little old me, that I'm nobody, that yet through Him that He might use us, that we might be sanctified and cleansed, that the world might see that there's something about this man named Jesus. He's a life changer. He's changed my whole life. He's changed everything about me. He's washed me. He's cleansed me. He's made me and molded me. And He's changing the aspect of my life. There's something about this man named Jesus that we might show the world in this little old part of the country that we're in. There's something about this man named Jesus. Listen. These people of Israel had been exiled, driven out of their homes. And yet Ezekiel said, look unto the One who can be your help. He said, God will do this because His name not be sanctified. Listen this morning,
I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but I want you to know this morning that when God saves your soul, when He, my friend, that you pass from death unto life, my friend, He does that He might receive all the honor and glory. It's that He might be lifted up. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, folks. It's all about Jesus. He says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land." How special it is to live in a country as this. To have been raised up in a little old community that I could get in my vehicle and drive just mere miles up the road, and there was just an old-fashioned church sitting there. Old-fashioned churches all around us that practices and believes like we do. Folks, we are blessed. Blessed to have the gospel right here at our fingertips. Right here. We are blessed. And how for so often that I take those things for granted. We are a blessed nation. But listen to what he says. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you." And he says, "A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." This morning, I want you to know that I don't know where you stand with God this morning, but I'm thankful this morning to know that He, like I said, He's a life changer. And He's put a new heart in here. He's fixed me up and He's cleaned me up this morning. And as that song that McCaney says, he says that I'm a trophy of grace. There's nothing within me this morning that I've done, honey, that I might receive salvation, but it's all because of what God has done for me. And if you go back and you read this morning in Webster's 18 and 28 and you look up the word trophy, in the very bottom of that, it says that present, that every Christian might be a trophy unto Jesus Christ. Paraphrasing that. In 1828, Webster defined that. A trophy. Is that something special to you this morning? Boy, that's special to me. That I'm a trophy of grace. I may not be much to anybody else, but to Him, I'm everything. To Him, He loves me. A trophy of grace. He says, "A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." He said, "I will take the stony heart out of your flesh." Listen to me this morning. I began to think about this this week and several weeks. I had folks tell me, and people I've got a lot of confidence in, they said, "Preacher, just keep chipping away at that old stone. Just keep hammering away at it, and it'll finally break." Listen to me this morning. What's going to take that stone to break is God being lifted up. It's His holy name. And my friend, it's nothing that we can do but what God can do. Because He says, listen, it's nothing. Listen to what He says. He says, "A new heart will I give you." We can't put a new heart in here. But honey, it's what God does. God does an operation on you. It's God that puts a new heart within you. It's nothing that we can do on our own. He said, "I'll take that stony heart out of your flesh." This morning I've heard people say, "Sinners has changed." Sinners hadn't changed. Sinners are still sinners. They're cold. They're cold-hearted. They're hard-hearted. They're sinners. This morning, I want you to understand something. I began when I was a young boy, a young man, I worked in a mine. I told y'all that here before. I worked in a mine. We worked about 3,000 feet underground. And it was just as dark and cold and wet. You turned your hat lamp out, and it was just the darkest of dark that you've ever seen. And And we would get down there and we'd start drilling that rock. And it was hard. It was limestone. And it would take us hours to drill through that. And they would have a spot lined out ahead of us where we was to go. And that was where the ore body was. That was where we was going. But that stone was hard. And men's equipment, you know, we used it. We might be able to drill through those things. But I'm telling you this morning, the stone that's in here for a lost sinner, can't none of us break. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that mamas and daddies can do. Listen, all we can do as God's people is pray and look to the Lord, because it's God who's going to break that stony heart. I'm telling you, it's hard. It's cold. It's indifferent. It's stone. That's how our heart is before God comes in and He does an operation in here. My friend, it's stone, it's hard. You sit there and say, well, preacher, I look over, I don't understand how sinners sit there when the preaching of the gospel is going on. And if I would have heard that, I believe I would have made a move. Listen to me, they're sinners. And they've got a heart of stone. But God says, I'll take that stony heart out. We talked about the conscience this morning. And I don't claim to be a doctor. I don't know much about the internal workings of a man. I know about the physical heart that God has put in here. And I'll say this, the human body and the anatomy of the human body amazes me. This heart that's pumping blood, one day after a while, is going to stop pumping blood. Man was created out of the dust of the earth, and the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. It's amazing to me the inward workings of a man. But yet, I want you to know that there's a soul in here that you cannot see with a visible eye. When they run me through those CAT scan machines and all that, whenever I went through those surgeries, listen, they found different things in my body that wasn't right, and give us a little heads up that maybe we might go look upon those things. But nowhere in that did they say, well, we see his soul in here somewhere. They never did see the soul of man. But it's in there. And God says, well, I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He says, I'll give you a heart of love. He says, I'll give you a heart that can feel. That stony heart, it can't feel. It's hard as stone. But my friend, that morning, that heart of flesh, you can feel something. And this morning, I'm thankful to be a child of God that I can feel what God has placed down in my heart. He done an operation on me. A heart of flesh. A heart of love. Listen to me this morning. If God is going to do, if anything is going to happen, it's going to have to be because God does it. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall be, keep my judgments and do them. Freedom. I know by no means this morning mean to take away from the 4th of July and what it means, and I thank God to live in a country where we have freedom. But the greatest freedom that I've ever experienced in my life is the freedom from sin. The freedom that God has placed in my heart, the liberty that He has placed in here. When He done an operation on me and He took that old stony heart and He placed within me a heart of flesh, a heart of love. One that can feel, one that knows that God is real. One that I know this morning that His holy name, that we're able to sanctify Him. He says, I will put my spirit within you. It's an operation of grace. As badly as people may want to be saved, and as badly as we want them to be saved, it's God who does the work. And I'll tell you, as a young preacher, sometimes that gets hard for me because I want to see things happen now. I want to see things happen now. But I'll tell you what we do. We keep taking the hammer that God has given us, His Word. And just like these vacation Bible schools that we have, the only thing that's going to break that heart of stone is God. And we keep hammering away at it. And keep hammering away at it. And keep hammering away at it. You may not think that they're listening. Mamas and daddies, they're listening. I'll tell you, they listen more than what you think they do. And there's going to come a day when they're sitting there in their seats and you don't think that they're paying a bit of attention to anything that's going on around them. And there will be something that's said. There will be somebody who will stand and testify. There will be a song that's sung. There will be something that's done. And I'll tell you what will happen. God will step in and He will break their little hearts. Because it's God that does it. And when they break their heart then, for we know that it's by a broken heart and a contrite spirit, my friend, when God breaks their heart, then God can do a work within them. Then God can do a work. You ask me, as God's people, what do we need to be praying for? God, that You might convict our little hearts. God, that You might break their little hearts. Listen to me, while they're young and tender, that they might not be hard-hearted. The older and the longer that they go, the colder and the harder that heart gets. Become ashamed. They don't want to make a move sometimes. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. But listen to what He says. He said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Listen to me this morning. When God does a work within you, it's something you know about. It's not something somebody has to tell you about, but you've experienced it firsthand. When God does an operational change within you and He changes your heart and you pass from death unto life, it's something you know about. It's something you've experienced. And when God says, I will put my spirit within you, you know about it. And when God does that, it's time to tell somebody about it. But listen, He said, and cause you to walk in my statutes. He said, I'll not make you to walk in my statutes. But He said, I will give you a desire, a cause to want to walk in my statutes, that you might be able to lift my name up. Listen, when God does a change within us, He gives us a desire as His people. All of us are a little different, but honey, He puts a desire down in your heart that makes you want to walk in His statutes. Brother talked about having a conscience this morning and realizing the wrong that we do. Listen, God has a way of getting our attention. He said, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And He said, and ye shall dwell in that land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. He said, I will cause you to dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers. We're a special people. We're a peculiar people. I wasn't raised up a Jew. But God done a change in here. And spiritually this morning, we're a Jew. Listen to me. Spiritually, we are His people. Paul said there's no more either Gentiles or Jews.
But we are the people of God. We shall be His people, and He will be our God. Listen to me. God does a change in here, and it's by His grace, and His grace alone. You ask me this morning what's going to take us home? It's because of a work of grace. You ask me what makes it so special to live in a country like this? It's because of God's grace and His mercy. To be a country, a nation under God. Grace. His grace is sufficient. A trophy of His grace. That's special to me. That we are a trophy of God. Listen to me this morning. I want to read this. 1 Peter sixth verse. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that your trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor of the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls, of which the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He said, whom having not seen, ye in love, and whom, though now, ye see not, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This morning I want you to know that as I began to think about hammering away at that rock, all we can do as God's people is keep hammering away at that rock. And finally, I believe in all of my heart this morning that it'll break. That God is the one who does the operational work. We know that. We know that God is the one who takes out the stony heart and He puts in that heart of love. And this morning I want you to know and understand that if you've been born again, if you have an experience of salvation, that God has put His Spirit within you this morning, that you are a trophy of His grace. And this morning there's nothing better than we can do than stand and know that whom we have not seen, as He says here, yet in love, in whom though ye have not seen, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. I began to think about that this week. The joy that God has planted within our hearts, sometimes we can't even utter out the words. We can't even describe it, what it is. To truly know and to be able to explain the goodness and the grace of God. This morning, as we stand and have a verse of song, I want you to know this morning, if you're here and lost, if you're separated from God, maybe you've been going for a long time. Maybe you've been seeking the Lord for a long time. Maybe you've never sought the Lord. Maybe this week during vacation Bible school you've realized that you're lost and separated from Him. I want you to know this morning you can seek the Lord. And He can do a work within you like you've never experienced before. And it's something that'll go with you throughout the rest of your life. As we stand and have a verse of song this morning, church, follow the Spirit of the Lord. That'd be our message.